Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me? Marvin? Can you hear me?
Hear me?
This is David Alleen. Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me? Well, see,
I can hear you.
What do you think is the state of the country?
You're asking me?
Okay. Well, let's see. I bet Brother Brown can tell us what do you think the state of the country is, Brother Brown?
Well, it depends on what state you're looking at. In reference to the state of Black America or the state of White America.
Let's go with the whole.
Well, we can't go with the whole system because we live in two Americas. Anytime you live in a country that is classified as a democracy where everybody's supposed to be equal, yet you have one group of people where inequality and oppression continues to exist, then there is no whole pie. And we have to look at it as that. As African people in this country for the last 500 years, we have been oppressed, we have been disenfranchised, and we have been placed with numerous amounts of inequality. And whatever crossroads that we have made during that period of time, there is still overt and covert oppression against people of African descent living within the confines of America. So, therefore, what applies to one group of people in this country based on white supremacy and racism does not apply to us as African people. And if we try to continue to fictionalize an illusion of inclusion, that we are included in the whole process of America, then we are only lying to ourselves. Because if you pick up the paper, even if you just live in your community, you can see the disenfranchisement against you as opposed to people of our ethnic persuasion.
Let's start with the state of white America. What's the state of white America in 2 minutes or less?
The state of white America is capitalism. And capitalism always has to have an oppressed people beneath them. And because this country was founded on principles of white supremacy and racism, in this country, they will always be on top, and they will always be in control. They control the socio-political, economic franchises of this country. They run this country, regardless of how many African-Americans that we sent to Congress or in our state delegations. They are still in control because they are a majority in every form of government that exists in this country. And economically, that's who runs the country. Wall Street runs white America. Wall Street runs America from every aspect. And Wall Street began with the enslavement of our people. There was no other commodity at the beginning of Wall Street that promulgated them to be economically self-sufficient.
That's right.
So if we...
Okay.
What is the state?
Let's wrap this up right again here with Brother Brown. 2 minutes or less, what is the state of Black America?
Black America is still in a state of overt and covert oppression. They just had a settlement in the Eric Garner case yesterday for $5.9 million. Now, people would think that's progress. It's not progress because none of these Anglo-Saxon police officers have ever been brought to trial. And based on the Casual Killing Act that began in Virginia in the 1600s, there is no way these cities and these municipalities have unlimited insurance to protect their interests. And their interest is the police department. The first police department that was ever created was created in Virginia to monitor slaves, Africa. So that's what we need to look at, and the picture has not changed. So the state of Black America is still in disarray because we have been fed when they created integration that was supposed to give us a sense of equality, which it didn't. It just economically bankrupted us to the degree that we own no businesses that produce any wealth in our own community, and there is no reciprocity for the money that we spend in this country. So we are in the same position that they put the Haitian people in after the Haitian Revolution, that they put other African ethnic countries in, and they're using modern day colonialism against us in America, and we have not caught the dream.
Okay, now let me ask you one final question, and then I'm going to let you talk. Marvin, and then Brother Cansey, I think that is.
Thank
but
you. That's
okay, now what I'm wondering about, Brother Brown, in 1 minute or less, where do all the other people fit in this diaspora we call America? If, in fact, we have two Americas, one capitalist and one oppressor and oppressees, where do the other people fit in? All the other people of color, the Arabs, the Mexicans, the Middle Easterners, the Chinese, everybody else.
None of those people have ever been enslaved in this country. Now they may have been oppressed to a degree, I'm talking about the Chinese, but none of those other people that you named have ever been oppressed or enslaved, have never been enslaved in this country. No laws were ever made for Mexican rights in this country. No laws were ever made for Mexican rights.
What is their state?
Huh?
What is their state? What state are they in?
Well, they're able to blend in with white America. They own businesses.
Okay.
They have economic resources. And, you know, they're not oppressed like we are.
Okay. Thank you. Now, you're jumping at the bit there. Come on. Is that Marvin? Or was that Canty?
It's Canty.
Yes, sir.
How are you? Hey, Brother Brown. How you doing, Brother Dunning? How's everybody?
I'm doing all right, brother. How you doing?
Good. Oh, great. Listen, I think that we have to be cognizant of the fact that white man speaks bilingual. Bilingual meaning that he speaks legalese and then military science. Black people are speaking the best we can English. But the white man has an advantage over us because he speaks, like I said before, legalese and military science. Legalese is dealing with natural law. White people believe in natural law. A good example, you let a black man go into a white church, shoot up, kill 9 members, including the pastor, and he's able to walk away. It ain't happening. White people believe in natural law. A military science is targeted. Are we not the most talking to people in this country? We just had another lynching by a police officer in Mississippi. Brother Dunning, have you heard about it? Hello?
Oh, she's not on, Canty.
Oh, okay. This is Brother Hattie.
I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, well, it was in, I don't know what town it was in, but it was mentioned on Democracy Now! Black man riding his horse-drawn wagon. Was stopped by
I think that was in Alabama, Canty.
I heard it was Mississippi. Hey, how you doing, Shira?
Hey,
Canty.
I think that was in Alabama. I want to say that was in Alabama.
I thought it was in Mississippi. You had confirmed it was Alabama let me know, but I heard it was in Mississippi. Or
okay,
the Boston,
I'll check.
But anyway, the brother was choked for a half an hour, and he kept repeating,
yes,
I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why white people can feel that they can take our lives and snuff it out, even behind the badge, is because we never had political nor legal protection. And when you do not have political nor legal protection, you're considered subhuman at worst, subhuman, but short of, they consider black people slaves. And any people that have no political or legal protection, the oppressive group feel they can prey upon blacks or that group whenever they damn well see fit. And that is the problem with the NAACP, which is holding their convention this week down there in your territory, Ashira. They're holding their convention down there. And no one is going to bring this issue up. If the white man speaks bilingual, then where does that leave us? Because he hears us talking, but he's still not listening because he has another conversation another language that he understands that he goes by. And white people will not dare tell us that they speak legalese and military science.
Yeah. That was in Mississippi. You know,
no,
they killed so many people. All of them becoming bleared.
Yeah.
You know, they killed two people here in Austin over the weekend. And see, the deaths here in Texas have been kept quiet and out of the news. But it's a lot of police killings happening right here in Texas.
Yeah,
Dallas, Austin, Houston, they keep it all quiet, though.
All quiet. And you see, the thing is about it, most of your black pastors are agents for this government to keep black people deaf for something dumber and blind, where all they want to do is get the emotionalism from the preacher or a certain kind of music from the screaming, I didn't say singing, I said screaming choir. And they just as tickled as they can be. They could not care less about how is it possible they're building expensive housing in your neighborhood, not for the salary that you're making. So whose salary are they expected to pay those high rents? It must be white folks. And these white folks are coming
because they're raising the rents up there where you guys are and down here in Houston. And you know, it's just people are just going to be homeless if things don't change.
Yes.
If we don't make some type of change.
I know a very famous deacon that was a victim of skinheads. He's got to move. He done moved out of Riverhead, Long Island, since the tax is killing him. And the harsh winter we've been having in this area, I'm telling you, black people are really endangered species. But rent is going up in Bed-Stuy. Like it's silly. Years ago, it was considered just yesterday, rent at Bed-Stuy was considered reasonable rent. Now it's gone from reasonable to silly rent. And you're paying for a cubicle called a condo that offers you big windows, a fireplace, thermostat for you control your air conditioning in the summertime and the heat in the winter, a dishwasher. But the rooms are small, very, very expensive. You don't see no white folks going into these buildings carrying shopping carts of food. They carry, if anything, a little cup of this, a little bag of that. But they go out to eat. These white folks got money, but not enough money to live in Manhattan. So they're moving into Brooklyn. Brooklyn has become the back door to Manhattan. What we've got to be dealing with that we have not been dealing with before is that we have become what Marcus Garvey warned us not to become. He warned us about becoming a surplus race of people. What do you do with the surplus? You get rid of it. And is it uncommon for white folks to commit genocide against black people? If you look at the story about how they turned
out to be on this side, I will. But
I'm sorry. No, we see how white folks turned on black folks during the days of Reconstruction. The North, under the Stars and Stripes, turned on the blacks who were depending on the North to protect our Reconstruction rights. the South, under the Confederate flag, was told by the North, ran by Republicans in the North, fearing a second Civil War, to told the South, the proviso was, if they never ever would talk about ever secede from the Union, they would provide, they would pull out the Union troops that was guaranteeing their Reconstruction rights. Then they told the South, you could do to the blacks whatever you wanted to. That's when the lynchings began and the Klan was born. And black people have not studied their history to understand that we're in the rut that Marcus Garvey warned us about, and many of us are not prepared to deal with this imminent race war. That's what's the big deal. And Obama, big deal, he have pardoned people who are nonviolent crimes and drug dealing. But what about the brothers who are locked up at this place called Angola Prison Farm? Had no legal.
Cantor, have you seen that documentary on Netflix that's talking about the Angola Prison Farm?
No, but I can imagine it might turn my stomach. I'm sure it will.
It will turn your stomach because let me tell you, they have this one young man on there. He's appealing his case. He was convicted of raping a woman like 25 years ago. And when the tests were done, there was two women, and when the tests were done, the rape kit was performed. The women were virgins, so it was no way that he could. Even with this new information, they still denied his
because you got Uncle Tom bootlicking lackey for a governor who's an Indian, and he gives the Indian people a bad name. And you see, the NAACP holds the convention.
Gentle crazy tale.
Yeah, you will never, black as I am, dark as I am. Thank you. You will never hear this man deal with the fact that these are people that were victimized by white supremacy, and he's going to put a stop to it by signing an executive order that these blacks be given a new trial and be released on their own cognizance and given some kind of compensation for their horrible situation. No, it ain't happening. But we see you got well-to-do black people that are concerned about those blacks who are less fortunate and are ending up in these America's gulags, be they in Angola Prison Farm or upstate New York. You know, it's all over the place. And, you know, I'm sick and, as Panel Hay would say, I'm sick and tired from being sick and tired of black people following black pastors who I dare say are ecclesiastical pimps for the majority of ecclesiastical pimps. They are accommodations for white supremacy, and they have no desire to do anything except to accommodate this racist system. The kingpin is the one who used to be a fat one, now he's a skinny one. I call it anaconda, skinny anaconda Sharpton. You know, he don't even have a church. You know, he don't even want a church. He just wants to be a free, let's call it freelancing, where he gets his thousands and he goes from place to place. But his main objective is to become another Dr. King, Martin Luther King.
Let me ask you guys this. You wanted to make a comment, someone else?
Go ahead, Mother Hattie. I did want to segue into something that Canty brought up about prisoners. We discussed political prisoners. With these 46 people being released. Yeah, right. What about the political prisoners?
Hello.
That's good that 46 people were released yesterday, 46 or 47, whatever it is. I'm sure there are hundreds of thousands more that should be released because there are, 2.5 million people locked up mostly on these little drug offense charges. So I'm sure there are hundreds of thousands of more people, for instance, like the brother we just mentioned. But, yeah, what about political prisoners with this new opening of Cuba? You know they're getting ready to try to go in there and attack Assata and all our other political prisoners that's been hiding over there. And, you know, they say Tupac over there. They say Tupac not dead. Tupac over there in Cuba.
Wow. Well, you know, you also got H-Rap, formerly known as H-Rap Brown. He's riding away in some prison in Georgia. And there was no evidence that he killed a white cop because of his politics in upsetting the graft and corruption of the police in that part of Atlanta. They came after him with a vengeance, and he was framed for killing a white cop. Now, you know, down in the Deep South, you're accused and convicted of killing a white cop, you're dead. You're dead. Rap Brown was given life sentencing. And not
yeah,
one.
He cleaned up that area. He cleaned up that
yeah.
area just like Carl
yeah.
Hampton did here in Houston
go.
On Dowlin Street. He cleaned up all the well, not all, but he worked on cleaning the prostitution and the drugs off the streets. And
yeah.
the police harassed him about that. He provided
yeah.
food in the community and all of that. And that the police harassed him, got up on the top of a church right across the street and sniped him.
Shit. And we have none of the pastors in that state of Georgia, none of them are willing to step up to the plate. All they want to do is keep you emotional. They're yelling and screaming, hooping and hooping. I call them, the term Max called them,
right,
hooping and hollering. But
right,
the more they
right.
holler.
With Bishop Eddie Long down there trying to fight against gay people and then sending pictures out, he could have been trying to fight for H. Rap Brown.
Thank you.
Let me jump in on this, because what I want to ask us, I'm all about action. And so what if we spent a little bit of time talking about putting together with all of this intellectual power that we have here? We have political prisoners. There have been people that have done great work around the legal aspect of those individuals, and how the state has never been able to truly identify these people as criminals. So why can't we make a list of these people? Actually, there's already a list, because I've seen it on the internet. And why don't we get our we all have congressional people, senators, whomever. We have to fight for some rights of these individuals that are political prisoners, like Reverend Pinckney out there in Michigan.
Yes, Lord.
Why can't we just put together a paper, start it circulating around about political prisons, since we are seeing that there's a willingness of the president to release, exonerate some of these people, to take care of some of the wrongs that have been done. I'm not about bashing anybody. Why do we have to count on somebody else to say, they should be doing this, they should be doing, we
right.
should be doing it. We're leaders, too. And so why don't
right.
we put together something for the Congressional Black Caucus and put together something to the president and start a campaign to release some of our political prisoners. We have to engage in doing something that's going to be effective, other than the chatter and the talking about and keep going back to the name calling. So all I'm saying is, let's at least do that. That's really minimal work, minimal that we can do. We got a legal person on the line. We got historical scholars. We got marketing people. And so
one of the problems
with that. Anybody, I don't want to hear a problem right now. I want to know, would anybody object to my idea of putting together this list?
I don't object to it. I think we should do it. I think we should just move forward, just do it, so at least we can say, at least we did put forth an effort, whatever the outcome may be. At least we can say we tried.
At least we say
we asked, because sometimes, if nobody asks, maybe you don't know needs to be done.
It has to be a consensus among who these political prisoners are, and then we can present it to somebody. That's the first thing. We need to get a list of who we want them to exonerate, and then we need to steadfastly push forward on that.
Let's start with H. Rep. Brown, but better known as his new name is Khalil Al-Amin. He was the icon. He succeeded Stokely Carmichael, and he never sold out. He was very serious about the dealing with white supremacy and the racism, and
we all know that. We don't have to convince each other.
Hold up.
GQ, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, GQ. Yes, I hear you well. Can you agree that H. Rap Brown would be a person that needs to be exonerated?
I would have to study his history more. I know of him, but I don't know the story, his backstory very well.
Shame on you,
okay.
Brother. Shame on you.
That's what I... No, it's
well,
no shame
yeah,
on anybody.
It is on
we
me.
Either
no,
know
but
or we don't.
Saying,
no,
all right.
Oh, well, if people know, let me shame... Let me tell you what. I say shame on us. I say shame on us as the old people. We haven't done a lot of our work that we needed to do to bridge these people in that are 20, 30 years old. I'm so sorry. Shame on us.
Well, to that.
Mother Hattie.
Well,
now, I'm sorry.
Can
it's here. Go on.
Can I say something really quickly? Just before
absolutely.
We run out of time, let's go ahead on and set a day and time when all of us can agree to this action. Let's set up this conference call and let's do it.
Well,
you
before,
have everybody's
we,
email
before
so that,
that
we can do that. So that we can do that, if we all agree to that, because all of this, like you said, talking about this, that, and the other, if we decide
and who didn't
to
do
what
I
can't
do it. This is simple.
Let me chime in on a campaign.
Yes, Brother Brown.
Yeah, let me chime in on something. From a legal perspective, we're not going to get these political prisoners released American. Let me finish on American soil. We have to take this struggle to an international level because, therefore, the whole world will look at the situations of these oppressed African political prisoners. Now, you have Leonard Peltier, who was with the American Indian Movement, who has been incarcerated since 1976. Okay? He was what Rap Brown was to Black America. He was to the Indian Nation. And, you know, they orchestrated these things against him. Now, we need to take our struggle. Now, we can't do this without a strategy. Okay? You have to have a strategy.
Thank you, Brother Brown. What we're going to do, we're going to talk about strategy at our conference meeting that we're going to have with Ashira. And I
okay,
would
don't
suggest...
Do it. Okay, let me finish, please. We can't do this over the phone. We have to set a meeting place and just agree to meet. It cannot be done over the airways.
But that's going to take a long time.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you up until a point. That's why we did it. That's why we had a convention so that we could do some strategy.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things, one of the purposes of doing a annual convention. And I'm going to say this, and I just say one thing, David. Could you agree that H. Rap Brown would be a person of political prisoner that we would add to a list to be exonerated?
Yes.
Okay, you could. What we are going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is this, and I agree with you, Brother Brown, that we can't stop with the United States, but I believe we got to start with the United States of America, put together the list, generate that list around to the people that are in within this particular conversation. Put together a brief to the Congressional Black Caucus, a request that they push this forward. Now, what they do with it is up to them. We are asking.
Right.
And I can't think, you know, we can sit around and talk about who should be doing what the president didn't do. We got to ask the question, first of all. We got to make that request. And then from that request, we take it to the next level. We can do it on
exactly.
the international level. But we got to start right here. So that's a strategy that I would suggest
from
we
my
just get together that list.
From my self-experience in the legal field, and I'm not an attorney yet, but let me explain something. You start at the top and you work your way down. I do not agree with starting with the Congressional Black Caucus, because when that element of Assata Shakur came to the Congressional Black Caucus, half of them walked out without voting. So we can't even begin with the issue. We need to start just like Malcolm did before he was killed. The day Malcolm X was killed was the day before he was supposed to take our struggle to an international level with the United Nations. Nobody has took up that banner since. I suggest that we take our banner, we take our fight to the United Nations because guess what? Every other country who has political or oppressed prisoners carry their fight.
I would not be opposed to doing it there. I would not be opposed to doing it there.
I'm gonna just be honest. I am not going to waste no time with the Congressional Black Caucus. That's my personal point.
That will be fine.
Okay.
That's personal.
I think that this is not the time for us to, like, go through, like, the steps. I think we just decide on what we want to do, and then we go into that. We only have 30 minutes on this call, so debating, like, you know, the actual steps, I don't think we have enough time for that. But I do agree. I agree with, you know, what you're saying, Brother Brown. I know what you're saying. I get that. But we just have to start somewhere.
I mean, we
got to try. We just discuss it.
Yeah, see, we gave the president an easy pardon for both Jack Johnson and Marcus Garvey. The man said, the president said, he wasn't going to do it because it was a waste of time. Now, those two brothers have been dead for a long time. He couldn't see the necessity of pardoning these brothers and clearing their name. So, you know, we're dealing with a man who has a very contradicting life. His style of thinking is embedded with confusion of understanding what white supremacy is all about. So he has no allegiance to his black blood. He's very much concerned about trying to offend white supremacy. And it was such a horrible rendition of how he was trying to mimic black preachers and becoming an Al Green, singing Al Green a song that he knew would rock that crowd. But the very idea, we're talking about, when do we have the concern to deal with a man like H.F. Brown, the lies put against him to get him convicted, and they knew damn well they didn't have a case, but he had inexperienced, incompetent legal protection that was his major problem that had him railroaded to jail. Attorney Arthur Madison was sitting right there in the courtroom, but he couldn't do anything to come to his defense because he's not allowed in the courtroom to practice law. But H.R.F. Brown is atypical of black people who are, shall we say, targeted. Again, military science. We are targeted.
Yes.
Anytime you have a leader that is not for sale and is willing to take the bit of punishment, that's why it is so, so magnificent. This documentary on Nina Simone should be seen by everyone who's got a ticking brain left, because this film here is showing you a black woman who could have sold out and become like Beyonce, richer than Beyonce, but she had the desire.
Okay, we're running down low. Let's cut this a little bit short, and let's just talk about a couple of other names that might go on this list. And I'm going to ask, could you just take those names down for us, GQ? Are you in a place where you can get these names down or written on something?
Yes.
Thank you. So we got
H.R.F.
Brown.
Yes.
Will be one. And can you guys come up with another one? Would be who?
Asada Shakur.
Asada Shakur is another one. GQ, if you could write down
a third one would be Tawana Brawley. She was a rape victim and could not get justice in the court system here in New York, and
she's not in jail.
She might as well be in jail because her rapist is being paid by her salary for garnishing her check for paying him for raping her.
Let's put Tawana Brawley on there also. Tawana Brawley. Any others there? Anybody has? Brother Brown, anybody else that you can think of that should be exonerated as a political prisoner?
Oh, Reverend Edward Pinckney.
The Angola Three was three Black Panthers, who was incarcerated in the 1960s.
We're not talking about who they are. You don't have to explain them right now. Let's just get some names down. That's the task right now.
Who is the first name of the Pinckney person?
Yeah, Reverend Edward Pinckney.
Reverend Edward Pinckney. And the Angola 3, just write Angola 3 down, because we're going to get some names generated here that we can think of off the top of our heads. Sure.
And what about
you have another brother that's not incarcerated, but he has been banned from the United States. He was a Black Panther member along with H.R.F. Brown. He's been living in the house for 35 years. He was never convicted on false.
We understand that. What is his name? Let's just do some names right
now. I don't have his name in front of me because I'm driving.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Could you do one thing then with us? Just say the Black Panther who's been banned from the U.S. Just write that down and we'll research it later.
Mumia Abu-Jamal.
That's for sure. For sure.
Hey, okay,
you got there you go, Brother Brown.
Okay, there you go. And you had one, GQ. What was the one you had?
I was thinking of the lady who lives in Cuba now, but she was
That's a cloud of Shakur. We got Shakur. We have her.
Okay.
Oh,
Brother Abdul, let's just go with the rest of the Move 9.
Hold up. He's going to help us to document this. Hold up. The Move 9. Did you get that one?
Yeah, but I think there's only one Move member who survived that attack, and that's Ramona Africa.
No, there's still several of them that are locked up. So let's just put down.
We'll sit through all of the details later. We just got to keep moving. Let's keep moving.
My thought was Michelle Alexander.
Huh?
What about
Marissa
Michelle
Alexander?
Michelle Alexander is the one that wrote the book.
Wayne Williams was a young man who was killing them people in Atlanta. That's right, Georgia.
You're thinking he's a political prisoner?
That's right.
I don't know about that one being a political prisoner. I wouldn't say.
Oh yeah, he is. Believe me. Trust me on that one.
Well, we certainly have to have a long discussion on that one. I'm not sure about that. Let's put his name down. Move on to the next one. Y'all, this call is 30 minutes.
It's only 30 minutes.
But we want to make sure
we get down and have discussion.
Real clear about people. Let me tell you what I'm thinking about. When I say political prisoner, I'm talking about people who have been targeted because they have been helping African American people as a group. And I would even it's like the Indian leader. People that have been really doing some things for a movement of equality and justice. I'm not trying to get into the gray areas because that's where we're going to get into too much problem.
I don't think we got to get to the gray area.
Let's just be real clear what the definition is. And I'm not trying to leave out the gentleman there, but I'm talking about real clear, concise stuff. Everybody knows beyond the shadow of a doubt that's a political prisoner.
That's right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
Let's not get into the gray areas, and that is a gray one, I think. But we'll put it down anyway for discussion later.
And maybe we can write some letters or essays about that to bring up the discussion on Mr. Wayne Campbell.
And that's fine. But right now, I think we want to take some action. I'm talking about a request to, if you want to say United Nations, and we want to say to the president and the Congressional Black Caucus, all of them, but I say we have to hit them all. Congressional Black Caucus, they owe us. We put those people in there.
Not only that, the Detroit people, black people in Detroit alone, gave the president 99% of their vote for his re-election. Look at Detroit right now. He did nothing to help the people in Detroit. He met with the mayor of Detroit at the University of Michigan, right across the bridge, but he wouldn't dare come across the bridge and speak to his people in Detroit who had high hopes for this man for his re-election.
Let's stick with the point. Political prisoners. Who else? Any other political prisoners?
I think that's a good start.
If you want to hear the names back, I can read them back to you really quickly.
Thank you, GQ. Read those back. Who do we have?
Yeah.
You have H. Rap Brown, Asada Shakur,
Tawana Brawley, Angola 3, Reverend Edward Pinckney, Black Panther, who was banned from the U.S., The Move 9, Marissa Alexander, and Wayne Wade.
My brother, that first name, A.K.A. Brown, let's put his new name because some people may get insulted if you don't use his new name. It's Khalil Alameen.
Name is Jamil Alameen.
Jamil Alameen.
Khalil. Just Alameen. With a J.
Yeah.
With a J.
J-A-M-I-L.
As in J.
Formerly H.R.F. Brown.
Yeah. He's not incarcerated. Wait a minute. He's not incarcerated in Georgia. He's incarcerated in maximum security prison out there in Arizona.
North Carolina. According to
Wikipedia, he's in a federal prison. I have been communicating with him for the last 5 years, him and Wayne Wade.
Okay.
He's in bad health. Not giving him any medication.
Okay, so we have his name down. Is there anybody else?
Any additions?
Want to include? And I think, Mother Hattie, we can open it up for if people think of somebody tonight or later on, and then we can just add those to the list and discuss. So when are we going to meet on this?
Before Labor Day. Where would be the good person? D.C.?
Now, we got to be realistic about this meeting because we just had a meeting and not too many people were able to make it. So,
yeah,
you know,
I don't think
that's agree.
Practical, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think that.
It's
yeah,
not.
I really
no, it's
don't.
Not.
I really don't. It's a great idea. It's what needs to happen. But because of our situations and distance, I don't think that it's going to be able to happen unless somebody's going to fly me somewhere, to be honest with you. So I think we need to be thinking about a conference call. I mean, hell,
right.
Listen, anyway, they hear us right now.
Yes.
Shoot.
Yeah,
exactly. They hear us now planning.
Exactly.
So, I mean, so what? And we're going to submit it to them. So what? And they're already listening. They know what we're doing.
They know
gotta read our mail and everything else. So, anyway, let's set up a darn conference call. Shit.
That's it. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, what the hell are we being so damn secretive about? Hell, they know what we're doing. Shit.
Perfect.
Anyway,
you know.
So when y'all want to set up this conference call? That's the next thing.
Why not this weekend?
Great idea. I really like this weekend because I'd rather do this sooner than later. I don't think it takes a lot of power to do it. I think it just takes a little bit of time and make the request. It's not complicated because there's always or already a lot of things out there. David, would you be willing to help us do the writing aspect of this for making this request?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. We just need to get the rest of the names in and let's do a conference call.
I'm going to be leaving the town the 17th, we'll be back to the 22nd. So anything from the 23rd, be fine. If you can't hold it off, then fine. You got my support for whatever you want to do, but
okay, you're thinking you need what day to do it?
The 23rd.
Not this?
The 23rd of this month. I'll be back in town the 23rd.